the book of Acts, chapter 2. I have one verse to read here. Then I'll let you sit down and we're going to get into it. It's one that I don't think we need to actually turn to, but turn to it just in case. We should have this memorized pretty well. Acts chapter 2 and verse 30. I think most of us know it by heart. Let's read it together here. Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name, what's the name? Jesus Christ, for the remission or the repentance, the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God, you may be seated. Amen. I went back to the archives, so to speak, and when my dad, our pastor, asked me to teach tonight, the Lord immediately put a lesson back on my heart, one that I'd taught before, and I kind of had a little argument with God. I'm like, God, why? This lesson, what? He's teaching me. Okay, we're going to go back here. I learned one thing is not to argue with God. Don't be wrong. Not good. I don't know why the Holy Ghost wants me to go into this again, but I'm the servant. I do what he tells me to do. Okay. So, quite a while back now, some may remember, some may not. I taught a series of lessons where we dove into salvation and what salvation encompasses. Each step, we dove into each step of salvation, what scripture tells us to do and how to do it and all of that. Tonight, the Holy Ghost wants me to focus and go all the way back to the first lesson on that, the first step of salvation, and that's repentance. I was like, God, I taught this already, and it's just this back and forth, and I just kept on feeling, go back, go back, go back. So here we are. I had to dive in, and in my scripture readings and studies for this, I found a lot of really, really good information. And I want to emphasize this again, that this is nothing that Brother Tyler Nix made up out of thin air. It's nothing that I just decided to write down on paper and say, hey, that looks good, let's go. No, I went to scripture. I studied a lot of different resources. I wanted to make this as comprehensive as possible, yet easy to understand for everybody. And I want to make it clear that this is nothing that I'm teaching. It's nothing that I made up. It's all scripture. It's all Holy Ghost, okay? So in order to really understand repentance, you have to first have to get a grasp on salvation. What is salvation? It's the gospel. We just read it in Acts chapter 2, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in that, there's an importance wrapped around that. You have to understand that salvation is not something that, oh, it's a nice to have. We all have those, man, it would be nice to have whatever it is, that new pair of shoes or that new car. It would be nice to have that. Yeah, that would be nice. This is not a, oh, it would be nice to have. This is a mandatory situation. If we want to make it to heaven and we want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, this is, you got to do it, okay? There's no ifs, ands, buts, maybes. You can't skip and pick and choose. You've got to follow the word, okay? It's important. It's important. Go with me to John chapter 1. I have a lot of scripture here. I'm going to kind of go fast through some of them in the interest of time. If you take notes and write stuff down, I encourage it. Write some of these scriptures down as we go. It's good. I want you to be able to take this and teach Bible studies to your neighbors, your friends, your family, and spread this wonderful word of God to the earth, okay? John chapter 1 and verse 6, we're going to go down to about 13 or so here. God sent a man, John the Baptist, this is a well-known passage, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. I'm reading from New Living Translation. Those of you who know me, I really love this translation for the clarity that comes out of it. Verse 8, John himself was not the light. I like that it stresses this. John was not the light. He came and he was telling people about the light. He says, no, it's not me. I'm the messenger here. I want you to know who's coming after me. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people, and they even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. What's this saying? This is saying that if we want to make it to heaven, if we want the ultimate reward, this is something that we have to not only accept. The world teaches, oh, accept Christ as your Savior. That's well and good, but unless you repent and are baptized in Jesus' name and are filled with the Holy Ghost, that's not getting you anywhere. Okay? That's just what it is, okay? That's our ticket into the family of God. Everybody's welcome. If you remember a couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday night, I talked about a very simple, quick lesson reminding us that salvation is free, but there's a few requirements. Okay? These are the requirements here, okay? That's what we're going into here. Matthew 7 and 21. But the Bible will work with me here. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. That says you can do all the good works that you want to. You can be, quote, as good a person as you want to be. But unless you repent, you're baptized in Jesus' name, and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, that's not going to get you into heaven. That's what it's going to be, okay? There's only one way to get into heaven. Only one. One way. That's it. No other way. The world likes to teach that you can pick and choose what you want to do. And as long as you're just a good person, as long as you do the best you can, and it's all going to be okay, we're all going to make it to heaven. I don't like to be a Debbie Downer, but I just agree with you. You're not going to make it to heaven that way, okay? And this is all scripture. I'm just going right to scripture. It's not what I'm saying. It's not what I made up. This is all scripture, okay? How do we achieve salvation? Well, there's only one way to do that. We can't earn salvation. We can't do anything to merit salvation in and of ourselves. Salvation is granted through grace. Through grace, we're saved. Ephesians 2, let me jump over here real quick. I told you I'm going to go pretty fast here. So if you write stuff down, write this down. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Says God saved you by his grace when you believe, and you cannot take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. You see, if we were able to earn salvation through works, it would turn into a bragging. We're human, that's just how we are. What is it? Man, look at how good I am. Look, you see the reward I got for what I did over here? Look at that. I'm such a good person. Sounds like a Pharisee, doesn't it? Look at how good I am. All of these good things I've done. That's what it would turn into, okay? So we don't want that, okay? We don't want that at all, okay? We read Acts chapter 2:38, the steps to salvation there, the initial steps. We know that repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and infilling of the Holy Ghost are the initial steps. It's requirements. There's a lot more that we have to live up to, we have to work towards. But these are, if you don't do this, you're not getting in there, okay? That's the basic requirements here, okay? Luke 15. There's so many good scriptures here that I went into, and it was amazing reading all of these. I wish I had time to read the entire chapter here. Many different well-known stories here, parables, as they're known here. In the interest of time, let's skip down to verse 11. Okay, let's do that. Let's do Luke 15 and 11. This is the parable of the lost son, okay, the prodigal son. We've heard this preaching taught many, many times. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you die." Or, "Dad, you're dead to me. I don't like this. Give me my stuff." It's just what that's how okay, that's what you see. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, the younger son packed all his belongings and moved away to a distant land. There he wasted all of his money on wild living. He went and partied. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land. And what happened? He didn't have any money, so he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him. The man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, I like this one. When he finally came to his senses, he woke up. He blinked and looked around. He said, "I'm in a very good situation, I mean." And he realized, maybe I messed up somewhere. And not only that, he realized I did mess up. And my actions led me here. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have enough food to spare. And here I sit dying in hunger." I'm sitting with the pigs. Even the pigs are eating better than I am now. "I will go home," says verse 18, "I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.'" Verse 20 says, "So he returned home to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son.' His father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the finest robe of the house, put it on him, get a ring for his finger, sandals for his feet. Not only that, go kill the calf we've been fattening up over there. Kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with the feast.'" And verse 24, "For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found." And the last part here I really like. "So the party." Praise God. There's a lot that we can teach out of just from that one passage there. It's a wonderful passage. I love reading that. From the lows of the son saying, "Dad, you're dead to me. I hate you. I'm tired of you. Give me my money and let me go." To the highs of him realizing he was in the pits and the depth of despair and realizing he needed to change and coming back home. His dad could have said, "He said, 'You hate me. I don't want anything to do with you. Get away.'" But his daddy said, "No, I really come back. Come back. I got room for you." Aren't you thankful God does that? Aren't you? I don't know about you. We've all done some pretty rough stuff. We've all done some things that pretty much merit God saying, I don't want to do anything with you anymore. And if we all got what we deserved, we'd be kicked away and ignored forever. Okay? But God says, no. He says, I've got some rewards for you. Come on back. Come on back. Praise God. I can't hold a lesson on that, but I'm not doing it. Okay? Now, repentance. The first step here in Acts chapter 2 and 38. The first step. Is repentance required? That's a question that came up when I was in my readings and in my prep and everything. Is it required? Just because it's in the Bible, is it required? I happen to say yes. Okay, yes. Luke 13, 1 through 5. I'm going to paraphrase here. It's saying repentance is non-negotiable. That's what this is saying. It's not something that we can, if I decide to do it at some point, it's going to be okay. I'll think about it, it's going to be okay. It is required. I'm actually going to turn. I feel like we need to. 1 through 5 in chapter 13. About this time, Jesus was informed that Pilate had murdered some people from Galilee as they were offering sacrifices at the temple. Do you think those Galileans were worse sinners than all the other people from Galilee? Jesus asked. Is that why they suffered? Not at all. And you will perish too unless you repent of your sins and turn to God. What about the 18 people who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? Were they the worst sinners in Jerusalem? No. And I tell you again that unless you repent, you will perish. So this is not something that Brother Tyler thought of. They said, hey, that might be something. That's straight scripture, okay? And I take scripture very seriously, okay? This is Jesus' word to Jesus himself. And that if you want to perish, don't repent. That's the thing. Jesus gives us a choice. He's not forcing you. He doesn't twist our arm and say, you got to do this. He gives you the good and the bad. He says, if you repent, here's what's going to happen. Here's all the good stuff. If you don't repent, well, there's the flip side of the coin too. Okay? So he presents both sides and gives us the choice. All right? Because again, if he didn't give us a choice, we'd be robots. And the love of a robot's not worth anything. Okay? Praise God, praise God. Without repentance, we are doomed to perish. We are sure to sink into eternal darkness, weeping, gnashing of teeth. On the flip side, with repentance and following scripture, we are destined for eternal life, joy. We have a reward waiting for us. As long as we follow these scriptures, okay? It's not hard. It's simple. It's easy to follow. We make it hard on ourselves is what we do. We make it hard, right? Oh, I don't want to have to repent and give up this and give up that and turn away from this over here because that's fun and I had a good time doing over here. That was good over here. We don't like to give up things. That's just our human nature. Right? So we make it a lot harder than it actually is. Okay. Is this making sense? Are we understanding? Is this good, good, good. Praise God. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. In those days, John Baptist came from the Judean wilderness, began preaching. His message was, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The prophet Isaiah was speaking about John when he said, he is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him. Amen. John said, it's coming. Got to get ready. Get ready. That's what John's whole goal in life was. And in fact, John went on to say, he said, you've got to increase while I eat. That's what's happened. We are called to repent. We are called to turn from our wicked ways. Okay? And as if we are willing to turn from our wicked ways here on earth, we look towards the reward that's coming. Okay? Praise God. Praise God. Matthew 4 and 17 says, from then on, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Sound familiar here? Repentance is required. It's mandatory here, okay? All right? It's mandatory. I'm about to get ahead of myself. We're going to get there. Okay, praise God. We are, not only is repentance mandatory for us, we are commanded to preach repentance. Mark chapter 6, 12 and 13, Luke 24 and 47. We're required to preach this, spread this word to the world, okay? Forgiveness only comes through repentance. That's it. That's the only way. If we want forgiveness, we have to be willing to turn away from our sin. We have to be. That's it. There's no gray area here. There's no ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. This is black and white scripture here, okay? We see Peter and Paul preaching repentance in Acts chapter 2, 37, 38, Acts 17, 30, and 31. They're all preaching repentance. You've got to repent. You've got to turn from your wicked ways. You've got to. You've got to. You've got to. It's important. Okay? We have conditions of salvation laid out in many different areas of the scripture. One of the conditions of salvation is you can't achieve salvation if you don't want to repent. Okay? All right? Now, Luke 15 and 10 says, the heavens rejoice when even a single sinner comes to repent. That's how important this is. How many billions of people are on this planet? And when one person turns from their sin and says, God, I've been a real terrible person. I've done some pretty ugly things, and I'm sorry. When one person repents, the entirety of heaven throws a party. That tells me that it's pretty important here, okay? It's pretty important, okay? Now, praise God. We covered how important repentance is. Now we need to talk about what is repentance. Well, on the surface, it's, oh, yeah, you say you're sorry, and you say this, and you say that. But we've got to, I did some deep diving, and I had to, it was really a good Bible study for me when I was preparing for this and writing this up and everything. In order, well, first of all, repentance is the changing of one's heart and mind, changing of the mindset. Okay, that's important. Though. The mindset has changed. Turning away from sin and towards God and to the things of God. Okay, it's doing a complete 180 of what it is. Sin over here, God over here. You flip around from sin towards God. Okay, not only that, you've got to change the way we think. And that's the hard part. That's hard. We are hardwired to sin. Thank you. I don't mean that. Okay. That's just how we are. It's our human nature. We're hardwired. If we're given an option, sin over here, good stuff over here, holiness, all of this over here, we're going to choose sin. That's just how it is. I wish it wasn't that way, but that's how it is, okay? So we've got to allow God to get in and change our mindset, okay? That's how it is. Some things only God can do, right? We can start the process. We can get working towards it, but only when we allow God to step in and take control will He change that mindset, okay? So that's important. That's important. Praise God. So in order to fully see what repentance actually is, we've got to start with what repentance is not. Okay? If you know me as a Nick, my brain works a little different than the average person. And plus, I'm a nurse, so I'm all crazy. Okay. So I had to, when I was preparing this and looking it up, this made sense to go into this because to my brain, as if I know what it isn't, it makes it so much easier to understand it. So what is not repentance? Conviction is not repentance. Okay. Acts 24. Let's go to Acts chapter 24. Okay. Again, with my electronic Bible here. Work with me. Acts chapter 24. And we're going all the way down to verse 24 here. A few days later, Felix came back with his wife, who was Jewish, with his wife, who was Jewish, sending for Paul. They listened as he told them about faith in Christ Jesus, as he reasoned with them about righteousness and self-control and the coming day of judgment. Felix became frightened. What did he say? He said, go away for now. Leave me alone. He said, when it is more convenient, I will talk to you. Felix felt conviction. He heard the word, and that conviction entered his heart. But then he got to think, and it's pretty, we get ourselves to thinking, we can get into some pretty bad things. He got to thinking, he's like, man, I got so much going on. I got all of this happening. It's not a good time to feel this. It's not a good time. So he literally told Paul, he said, it's just not going to be good. When it's a better time, when things calm down a little bit, then I'll come. Okay? He felt conviction, but he did not repent. There's a difference. You can feel convicted of your sin, but be stubborn enough and say, nope, I'm not going to repent. It's not convenient. I got too much going on. Things are going too good in life right now. I don't want to do it. Okay? So don't get stuck into believing because you feel conviction. You've automatically repented. It's not how it works. Not how it works. You can feel conviction of sin and yet not repent. Okay, that's what Felix did. Okay, sorrow is not repentance. While repentance includes feelings of sorrow or feeling sorrowful, remorse, feeling remorseful, it does not solely consist of feeling remorse. Okay, it doesn't. Okay, 2 Corinthians. We're gonna go over to 2 Corinthians, and I told you I had a lot of scripture. Okay, I didn't lie to you when I said it. Okay, I have a lot. We're diving into it. I'm going as fast as I can. 2 Corinthians 7, verses 9 and 10. Now I'm glad I sent it. We're jumping right into this letter here. Okay, now I'm glad I sent it, not because it hurt you. Because the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. This is the Apostle Paul in one of his many, many letters here to the church of Corinth. He's starting off. He said, Paul is very direct and straightforward. And sometimes he had to be pretty ugly with some of these people because they were in pretty bad shape. Okay, so he sent this letter that he didn't pull any punch. He just right to the point. And y'all are in trouble here, okay? And it hurt some feelings is what it did, okay? So Paul comes in, and he's like, you know what? I'm glad I sent the letter. If you go to verse 8, he says, I'm not sorry that I sent that severe letter to you. He starts this whole thing, and he's going, look, you want me to apologize? I'm not going to apologize, okay? I'm not sorry that I sent it, okay? Though I was sorry at first, for I know it was painful to you for a little while. Now, I'm glad I sent that letter, not because it hurt you, but because the pain caused you to repent and change your way. It was the kind of sorrow God wants his people to have, so you were not harmed by us in any way. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in what? Salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow. But worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. Okay? You can feel sorry, but not be repentant. All right? You can feel, we've all had those feelings of remorse. We can feel remorseful, but yet refuse to repent. There's a difference here, okay? And again, repentance involves feeling sorry, feeling sorrowful, feeling remorseful, but does not solely consist of feeling sorry, feeling remorseful, okay? Hatred of sin is not repentance, okay? While repentance involves having a hatred towards sin, I want to stress here, we do not hate the sinner, we hate the sin, okay? All right, the world likes to twist people's minds and say, them Christians are really, they hate all of that sin. No, I love every sinner, but the sin they commit is what I despise, what I despise, okay? Repentance involves having a hatred towards sin, but it does not solely consist of a hatred towards sin, okay? It's possible to hate or to loathe sin and yet not turn away from it. Hating sin alone is not repentance. You can acknowledge that you hate what you're doing, but refuse to turn away from it, okay? Repentance is the turning away from, okay? Just acknowledging that you hate what you're doing or you hate the sin was not repentance in and of itself, okay? Again, it consists of the hate, the feeling of hatred towards sin, but it does not solely consist of hatred towards sin, okay? Here's one that's going to hurt some feelings, okay? Promising to do better or be better is not repentance. Okay, we as humans, we like to get into a habit of, man, I messed up. I really messed up. I got to do better. I got to be a better person. I got to clean my act up a little bit. I got to stop doing what I'm doing. That's called our conscience. That's not okay. All right. Our conscience kicks in. It's like, hey, that's not really good. What are you doing? But we can acknowledge our conscience and yet not repent. Okay? In our reading, our main reading, we read the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son there, he, when he was at the bottommost layer, the lowest he could get, rock bottom, he sat there and he said, man, I done messed up. I got myself into a pretty ugly situation. And he told himself, I've got to do better. I've got to be better. I've got to be better. I've got to do this. That was the first step, but that in and of itself was not repentance. Okay? Was it making sense here? Okay? Forgive my voice. The allergies are going crazy. All right. The determination alone is not repentance, okay? There's an old saying I'm sure we've all heard, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. We can intend to be good, intend to be a good person, intend to do all of this. But if you refuse to repent, you're not getting anywhere, okay? All right. This is another one that's probably going to hurt some feelings because we all, if we're honest with ourselves, we've all thought about this, and you've been done it once or twice. Turning from a singular sin is not repentance. Wait, repentance is turning from sin. Yeah. All sin, not a singular sin. Okay. Well, I'm going to turn away from this, but this over here, it makes sense. Oh, that's debatable. And I enjoy this over here. So I'm not going to turn away from that. But this one, yeah, that's bad. I'm going to turn away from that. That's not repentance. That's not it, okay? And I hate to be the bad guy here, but I'm going to tell you, that's not repentance, okay? If this is you, and if you're going along picking and choosing what you're going to repent of and what you're not, you're going to end up in front of the judgment throne of Christ. And he's going to look and say, look, I don't see any record of you repenting here. And you're going to sit there and argue, but Lord, I did this and I did this and I did this and I did that. I don't see your name here. I don't want that. Don't end up like that, okay? We cannot pick and choose what sin to turn from and which sins to keep. We can't do that. Sin is a symptom of a deeper problem. Okay? We are all rooted in ungodliness. Again, we can thank God of any use for that, okay? When we address the root of the problem, when we address the root of the problem, rather than the fruit of the problem, hold on, I'm reading my book. When we address the root of the problem, then the fruit of the problem will be taken care of. Okay? So by default, we produce sin. That's our default setting. All right? You ever had a, anybody ever gotten a new laptop or a new tablet, a new something or another? It comes with default settings. Right? You turn it on, and there's a set of default settings. I'm not an IT programmer guy. Our pastor knows a lot more about it than I do, okay? But there's this default program that comes on these laptop computers, right? And not all of that default program is good, right? So if you're really smart and really good with all this stuff, you know what you like, what you don't like, what you want on the computer, what you don't. So you'll go in and reset the defaults and put in the good stuff, what you like, all this stuff, right? We've got to let God do that with us. By default, we are programmed for sin. We are programmed to choose the ungodly over the godly every time. We are programmed, if we have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil here, which you're told not to touch, not to eat from, and we have 1,000 other delicious fruit trees off over here, we're going to say, I want to go to the one that I can't have. That's just how it is. That's our human, that's our nature. That's what it is. It doesn't matter if there's 1,000 other really good fruit trees. I can't have this one, so I gotta have it. That's just how we are, okay? We've got to let the Holy Ghost come in and reset us, reset our default settings. Okay, we've got to do it, all right? Praise God. All right, now, there's a lot more I could talk about on that aspect, but that covers a good portion of what repentance is, right? All right, does it make sense? Now, what repentance is not, that one's covered. Now, we get to the good stuff, kind of. What repentance is, okay? Let's get in and explore a little bit. Repentance is a change of heart. That's a spiritual experience. Your heart's got to be changed because our hearts are nasty. It's nasty, okay? You've got to let the Holy Ghost come in and clean out the heart, clean out the nastiness. Amen. Praise God. It's a change of mindset. All right, that's what repentance is. That's an intellectual experience, right? Different experiences here. Intellectual experience, change of mindset. Repentance is a change of feeling. That's a physiological experience. We're covering all the bases here, okay? Repentance is a change of purpose. The purpose changes. I'm no longer going to purpose towards the ugliness, the bad. I'm going to change everything and say, this is my goal. Here's where I'm headed. Here's what I'm going to do. Okay? Repentance is a change of conduct. That's a moral experience. Okay? Conduct. I'm going to change how I act. I'm no longer going to walk and talk like the world. I'm no longer going to dress like the world. I'm no longer going to act like the world just to fit in. I'm no longer going to do this. I'm going to put on godliness. I'm going to follow Christ. Okay? So repentance is a spiritual experience. It's an intellectual experience. It's a physiological experience. And it's a moral experience. It's the whole shebang. Okay, everything. It's every experience you can think of. Repentance comes in. Okay, it's not just one of these. It's not just spiritual. It's not just intellectual. It's everything. Okay. Repentance is a mindset change. Okay. Matthew 21. I want to read this. I know we've got a little time. We're getting it. Okay. Matthew 21 and verse 28 is where we're at. Okay. 21 and verse 28. This is the parable of the two sons. But what do you think about this? A man with two sons told the older boy, "Son, go out, work in the vineyard today." The son answered, "Nope, I don't want to go." But later he changed his mind and he went anyway. The father then told the other son, "You go." And he said, "Yes, sir, I will." But he didn't. There's two aspects here. One said, "Nope, I don't want to go." But he changed his mindset later. And he said, "You know what? Maybe I should go. Let's go." And he went. The other said, "Yep, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, let me do it. I'll do it." But he didn't go. Okay? Two different aspects here, all right? Mindsets have to change here, all right? In our mind, we can have our mindset saying, "We're going to go do this, we're going to do that." But until you actually do it, you're not getting it, okay? So in this two verses here, the boys, their mindset was twisted. Their mindset was one of self-centeredness and selfishness rather than one of selflessness. Okay? Feeling shame. Saul was overwhelmed with guilt and remorse after his experience on the road to Damascus. You know that story. He was basically smacked in the face by the Holy Ghost. And God said, "Look, what are you doing, dude?" And I'm paraphrasing, okay? But Paul had to have a reality check of what that meant. Okay? Saul, this was before his name, Paul, he had to have a reality check. Okay? He was then overwhelmed with guilt and remorse there. Okay? So it's a change of feeling. That's another aspect of it. Right? Your feeling towards sin has to change. By default, we are programmed to have a positive feeling towards sin. That's in our nature, what it is. We've got to change that feeling. Change it from, "Wow, maybe that's pretty good," to, "Oh no, that's terrible. I don't want anything to do with that." It's feeling change. We've got to change the feeling about it. Okay? Psalm 38:19 says, "I confess my sins. I am deeply sorry for what I have done." David was full of remorse and begged God for forgiveness. Feelings of remorse were so great that it changed his feelings towards sin. Okay? He acknowledged he was a sinner. He acknowledged he needed grace and forgiveness. And in order to get there, he knew he had to change how he felt. Next. Luke 18 and 13, the publican was so remorseful that he couldn't even look towards heaven. Rather, he beat his breast while crying out to God for forgiveness. He said, "I don't deserve forgiveness. I don't deserve to even look towards heaven. But God, I need your help. I've messed up. I've been sick. I need your forgiveness." The prodigal son in our main reading here, he had such a strong feeling of remorse that he realized that should he be allowed back into his father's house, that was the question, should he be allowed, that he's not worthy to be anything more than a slave. He realized he messed up so badly that he didn't even deserve to be let back in the house. But he's like, "If my dad is so loving, if he can find any way to let me in, I'll just be happy if I'm a servant." Okay? His feeling towards sin changed. You've got to change how you feel towards sin. Okay? Praise God. Sin is a change of purpose. One's will is involved in it. The prodigal determined, he said, I will go back. Once he determined this, he didn't just stay sitting there. What'd he do? He got up and went. He said, it's time for me to go back. But then he could have just stopped there and said, well, I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to do whatever. But he said, no, it's time for me to go. I'm going to get up and go. So he got up. There's action there. Okay? He got up and headed towards his dad's house. His purpose switched then. His purpose switched from that of worldly deeds, parties, lavish living, living for himself rather than living for God, to that of being focused on his father's. Psalms 119:59 says, I pondered the direction of my life and I turned to follow your word. Repentance is a change in conduct. Zacchaeus in Luke 19:1-10 had a change of conduct. Saul in Acts 9:1-6 had a change of conduct on the road to Damascus. The jailer in Acts 16:30-34 had a change in conduct. They realized they were conducting themselves wrong. They were conducting themselves in a sinful manner. They said, I've got to change how I act. No longer do I want to be associated with sin. No longer do I want to act like sin. I want to be associated with God, godliness, the things of God. I want to act like God. Okay? Praise God. Praise God. Change of conduct. Now, how is repentance brought about? We're almost done. I only have a few more minutes. Okay? We're almost there. How is repentance brought about? In 1 Corinthians 15:31, the Apostle Paul, he says, I die daily. He says, I submit myself daily. Why? Because Paul said, I'm the worst of the worst here. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I'm any better than anybody here. In fact, Paul said, I'm worse than any of you guys. Look at my record. You can see what I've done. It's pretty terrible. So Paul said, I've got to submit myself, my flesh has to be under submission daily, because if I don't do it, I'm going to end up back in sin. Okay? You've got to submit yourself to God. Okay? You've got to say, I don't care what you have to do, God. Keep me in submission. I need your grace. I need your forgiveness, God. It goes back to the mindset change. Okay? We must crucify our sinful nature through repentance. We deny ourselves so that we can glorify God. Romans 6:1-2 and verse 10, you die to sin. Christ died once on the cross to break the power of sin over our lives. We therefore must die to our sin spiritually. Christ died for us physically. We must die spiritually. The old spirit of sin dies. The new spirit of God lives with us. Praise God. Would you stand? Praise God. Praise God. God loved us enough to allow us the chance at eternal life through the gift of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who came to die on the cross for us so that we wouldn't have to. He said, I'm going to take care of this for you. God allows sorrows in life to intervene in our lives to help push us towards repentance. Sorrows, trials, tribulations, emptiness, this all helps lead us towards repentance, okay? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Praise God. Now we've covered everything about repentance that we need to cover tonight. Now, you've got to ask the question, when do I need to repent? When? Is there a good time? Is there a better time? When do Do I need to repent? I've got one answer for you. The best time is right here and right now. Okay? There's no better time than here. No better time than now. Don't wait. If the Lord's talking to your heart, and if there's something that you're feeling conviction of, don't wait for a more convenient time.